الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receivers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us His true ishq and muhabbat and the true ishq and muhabbat of His beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. Not only on occasions when we require Allah's assistance, then we make long, long du'as and we cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, Allah ta'ala, out of His generosity, kindness, mercy, compassion, Allah grants us whatever we require. Allah forgives us, Allah helps us, Allah assists us. And also His beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not only on occasion of 12th Rabiul Awwal that we gather in the masjid and then we listen to some talk about the seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, in this masjid, for years, we have been hearing the seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continuously. There isn't a majlis in which we don't praise Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There isn't a majlis in which we don't talk about some sunnat or the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This durood and salam, it's not only tonight that we're reciting it. On so many occasions we read it, every week we recite it. In fact, every day we should be sending durood and salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's already Friday. So one should increase durood and salat, salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a Friday. He should increase his durood that he recites every day. In the hadith it is mentioned, on a Friday you must increase your salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is such an ibadat. The durood and salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, durood sharif that we recite, it is such an ibadat that Allah Himself says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Allah Himself participates in this act of sending mercy upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sending blessings and salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa malaikatahu, and also His angels. And therefore Allah has commanded, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu wa taslima. O believers, you also should recite durood and salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, al-bakhilu man dhukirtu indahu falam yusalli alayhi. That person in whose presence my name is taken and he fails to send durood and salam upon me, he does not say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at least, then he is regarded in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a kanjus, as a bakhil, a miser. If we look at the sacrifices Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam underwent for our sake, for his entire ummah, the du'as that he made every single day of his life, and on special occasions, Mina Muzdalifa, he thought about the ummah. At night in sajda, ummah. Sahaba who were burying him, at that occasion too they could hear him saying, Allahumma ummati. Pul Sirat, as the ummah is crossing the Pul Sirat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to the hadith, will be standing there. Allahumma sallim, Allahumma sallim. Oh Allah, make it be easy for my ummah to cross. On the occasion of Mi'raj, in the court of his beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there also he did not forget his ummah. Oh Allah, what is going to be the plight and condition of my ummah on the day of Qiyamah? On one occasion, Rasulullah was traveling and Sahaba sees something very strange. He raised his hands in dua. Suddenly he went into sajda. Again he raised his hands in dua. Then he went into sajda. And for a third time he did this. Three times he did this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, what is this? First time we seeing you, you were mounted on your animal. You raised your hands, you made dua, you came down, you made sajda. Three times you did this. He said, I made dua to my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, grant me the intercession of my ummah. Grant, give me the ability, the opportunity to intercede on behalf of my ummah on the day of Qiyamah. That my entire ummah must be forgiven. And they may be saved from the fire of Jahannam. And every ummati of mine must enter into Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then inspired Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or Allah informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that one third of your ummat will be granted your intercession. On that, he made a sajda out of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he was not satisfied. Therefore he raised his hands again. And a second time, then Allah informs him that the second third of your ummat, they will also be granted your intercession. Still Rasulullah was not satisfied. And then again he raised his hand. Ya Allah, the last part of my ummat. One more is left, one third left. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his dua also for the last third of the ummat. One hadith it is mentioned, لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ دَعْوَةٌ مُسْتَجَابَ. Every Nabi, Allah granted every single Nabi one dua in that Nabi's life, which was guaranteed accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, Anbiya alayhi wa sallam dua was accepted. But one particular occasion, Allah says, whatever dua you make now, that particular dua is readily answered by me. So every Nabi made whatever dua they made. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given his opportunity in his lifetime, he postponed the dua. He delayed the dua for the day of Qiyamah. So that he may make the dua for his ummah on the day of Qiyamah, so that you and I can be safe from the fire of Jahannam. Imagine every single Nabi we respect, we honor. Every Nabi is so great. We love every single Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of Qiyamah, every single Nabi will be worried about his own condition. Nafsi, nafsi. We know the hadith of Shafa'ah. It's a lengthy hadith where the entire mankind will run to Adam alayhi salatu salam and various Anbiya alayhi salatu salam, pleading to them. They tell Allah Ta'ala now to commence the hisab kitab, the reckoning. How long are we going to stand here on the plains of Qiyamah? It is so horrifying, so difficult. But when they come to Rasulullah, so what do we say? Allahumma ummati, Allahumma ummati, oh Allah, my ummah. And therefore Allah honored Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his ummah that he had mentioned a hadith, إِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ حُرِّمَتْ عَلَى الْأَنْبِيَاءِ كُلِّهَا حَتَّى أَدْخُلَهَا. No Nabi can enter Jannat until I enter Jannat, and no nation, no ummah can enter Jannat until my ummah enters Jannat first. نَحْنُ وَالْآخِرُونَ السَّابِقُونَ. We came last into this world, inshallah, we will enter first into Jannah. Now this is our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom we don't only remember on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. We can praise Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with our napak tongues. Allah has given us this chance of remembering our Rasulullah ﷺ. Send durood and salam upon Rasulullah ﷺ every single day of our lives. Let us be honest and true to ourselves. How much of durood sharif we recite every day? How much of durood do we recite upon Rasulullah ﷺ? After every salat, if you just recite a few times, so five times we recite namaz, at least some amount we are reciting every day. Lucky are those who are teaching hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam Every single day they sing, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول. There are so many pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sahaba and tabi'een. When they should just hear Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially in a dars of hadith or in a wa'az, and if they had to deliver a discourse, they could hardly even finish sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned in the kitabs of the son of Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu. His name was Amir. Amir bin Abdullah bin Zubair rahmatullahi alayhi. When he used to say, Rasul qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to cry profusely. He just cry and cry and cry. People had to go and pacify him and console him. Muhammad ibn Munkadir, when he used to recite hadith, taghayyara lawnuhu. The color of his face will change. Imam Malik rahmatullahi, same thing. He used to cry until his students would have to leave the gathering. Imam Malik couldn't continue. This is the ishq, the love they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Genuine love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore one person says, ما مدحت محمد بمقالتي. I have not really praised Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with my speech, with my maqala, my discourse, my naat sharif. I haven't really truly praised Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how he ought to be praised. I haven't made justice. But in reality, what has happened? وَلَكِنْ مُدِحَتْ مَقَالَتِي بِمُحَمَّدًا. But because I am praising the Honorable Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who was Khalilul, the one who was Habibullah, the beloved of Allah, because I am praising Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that has brought weight and that has brought honor to my speech. If I had been praising somebody else, then my praising and my speeches would have been useless. But the mere mentioning of my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it has brought such honor to my speech. We have heard and we have read the Sirat of Rasulullah sallallahu. Really, we don't know which aspect to discuss tonight. Every single aspect of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is being a Nabi of the Ummat. The fikr he had for his Ummat. The shamail, the features of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The bravery of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The tolerance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Him being a teacher, a muallim. Al-Rasul al-Muallim wa asalibu fi ta'aleem is a kitab written. It's one kitab just only on how a fantastic teacher Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know the incident of a Bedouin coming into the masjid. And he did not know the etiquettes of the masjid. Perhaps the first time after accepting Islam, he was living in a remote area of some village. He was a Bedouin. And he comes into the masjid, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not knowing that this is a place of taharat, a place which is pure. And he had to relieve himself. So he goes and he begins to relieve himself in the masjid. Sahaba see this. They become angry. And they are about standing or running towards him to stop him. And Rasulullah sees this. He says, Mahmah, leave him. After this, Bedouin relieves himself. Then Rasulullah goes to him. He tells one sahabi, bring a bucket of water and just pour it over this and just clean this area. Then he calls the Bedouin one side and he explains to him in such a polite manner that this is a masjid in which the dhikr of Allah takes place. Salat takes place. Tilawat of Quran takes place. It is not appropriate for a person to relieve himself in the masjid. It is not a place for dirt and filth. So this was the uslub, the methodology Rasulullah used as a teacher. So there are guidelines for teachers also. There are guidelines for judges. How Rasulullah arbitrated. How he gives the decision. How calm and how composed he is.
There are books written just on the laughter of Rasulullah SAW. On which occasion he laughed, and of course his laughter was not like how we laugh, roaring laugh, no. He would smile, a broad smile. Sahaba would see his shining white teeth. He never laughed aloud. But there were occasions when he laughed also. There were occasions when he would jest with people. He would joke with people. There were occasions when he would joke with young ones. There were occasions when Rasulullah cried. Ya kitab written just on the buka un Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no person in history whose life is so accurately recorded, every step, every moment of his life. Imagine books have been written just on the names of the swords of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the names of the shields of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the names of the camels of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the names of the horses of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the names of the goats and sheep of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the names of his slaves and servants, the names of his scribes. Books have been written. How much do we know of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We have all the time in the world to read every filthy novel, to watch every porn site, to become glued to the shaitan box. And we appease ourselves. It's very important to know about the world news, current news. Very important to know about technology. MashaAllah, till Qiyamah, you'll carry on seeing the world news, and when the world come to end, and everything is over, what ishq you had of Rasulullah SAW? What muhabbat did you have? When that Bedouin came to Rasulullah SAW, there were three questions he asked amongst them. Ya Rasulullah, what about a group of What about a person who loves a group of people? وَلَمَّا يَلْحَقْ بِهِمْ He has not met them. But he loves them. Rasulullah said, أَلْمَرْءُ مَعَ مَنْ أَحَبَّ A person on the day of Qiyamah will be with that person who he loves. In this world, whoever you love very dearly, on the day of Qiyamah, you will be with that person. Lovers of this world, immediately your mind, your thoughts race to that beloved woman. The woman of your dreams, who you fantasize about. Anas radiallahu anhu says, after accepting Islam, we were never more happy than that occasion when we heard these words of Rasulullah. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. A man will be with who he loves in this world so dearly. On the day of Qiyamah, he will be with that person. They love Rasulullah so much. It was always that fear they had. What will happen to us on the day of Qiyamah? Will we be separated from our beloved Rasulullah SAW? When they heard that, they became delighted. They were into a state of ecstasy and joy and happiness that we will be with the beloved Rasulullah SAW. So there are different aspects we can discuss. Inshallah, in Tawmar of Jum'ah, I hope to discuss Rasulullah SAW being Rahmatul Alameen. Because that takes another whole lecture on its own. But we know Rasulullah SAW was sent into this world in such a period which is written or known as time of Jahiliyyah, the era of ignorance. And we have read the books of history. The conditions that prevailed, especially in the Arabian Peninsula, there was only darkness. It was only zulumat. It was oppression. Forces of batil, kufr, shirk, idol worshipping, worshipping the stars, the sun, the moon. There was war that was taking place over petty issues. People would fight all the time. They would quarrel. They would kill one another. Imagine a youngster over some petty issue. He becomes his father's bitterest enemy. He begins to hate his father. On one occasion, both of them have their faces covered. There is some battle that is taking place, time of Jahiliyyah, not Islam. And the son is sitting on the chest of his father. And somehow, There's a conversation that takes place and each one mentions who he is. And the son comes to know that this is my father. For some reason he is overwhelmed at that time with some type of mercy and he spares his father's life. He gives him a break. Or in fact, it was the father who had got the son. It was the father who had got the son. And the father spares the son. And then tells him, now you go away from me. I don't want to see you living near me. So the son goes to Yemen. But when he goes there, the people of Yemen also hated this father. There was some problem with him they had. So they incite the son, go back and kill your father. And the son comes back. Again, there's a duel that takes place. The father kills the son. And later on, the father becomes a Sahabi of Rasulullah. Amr bin Ma'di Karib radiallahu ta'ala, very great Sahabi. And he mentions, he writes a poem, a rathab, we call in Arabic, where he shows his sympathy, his remorse over killing his son. And he mentions that he was not a person who would like to kill people and fight, but in his tribe, if he did not fight with any person, then he would be called a fool, a weakling. And people would taunt him, and they would laugh at him. And therefore he built in his life, in his blood, the desire to kill people and fight. Imagine they would bury their own daughters alive. Gambling. They had become intoxicated, not only figuratively, literally intoxicated. It is mentioned in the kitabs that the Arabs would love, in the time of Jahiliyyah, liquor, alcohol, to such an extent that they would go for the more older wines, because that was more precious. And if any person had in his possession a wine of that quality, then he would be prepared to purchase that wine, and in exchange, he would actually sell the custodianship of the Kaaba. If he was the custodian of the Kaaba, which was a very great thing in the time of the Quraysh and the Arabs, but he was prepared to give up him being the custodian of the Kaaba just for a bottle of wine and liquor. Little babies when they're born, how we make tahneek? It is mentioned, it was a custom at that time. Many of them would give the little babies some wine to drink. Zina was armed, prevalent. There was no shame, there was no haya. Women had no rights whatsoever. It was Islam that came and gave women their rights. Mullah Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullahi alayhi had mentioned in his book, it was as though the mother earth had become sick of its people, that it wanted to sink in its belly all the inhabitants of the world because of all the filthy morbid practices that were taking place. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His Noor, His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even prior to Him coming into this world, in Arabic we term that irhasat, those miraculous incidents that took place before the birth of Rasulullah sallam, that marked the birth of Rasulullah sallam, a very noble birth. You know, the 14 turrets of the Persian palace crumbled into pieces. The lake that was running for so many years became dry. Fire which was burning for 1,000 years suddenly became extinguished. Many things happened. All this showed that a very great person is going to be born now. When Rasulullah was born, his mother saw Noor. Noor going to the skies, and from there she could see the palaces of Rome and Persia. This Noor that came into this world dispelled the darkness of kufr, shirk, of idol worship, of fights, quarrels, wars. Rasulullah joined the people's hearts. He brought them together. He created muhabbat between the enemies. He showed them what was mercy, what was tolerance, what was patience. And in the beginning there were few stars. 5 or 6 stars around him. Then there was a cluster of stars. 20, 30, 40 stars. Then they came the galaxy of stars, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the verse, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashshiran wa nadhira. We have sent you as a witness. Now in the tafsir is great. Commentaries mentioned and detailed commentaries. Rasulullah was sent as a witness. Once he tells Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala to recite for him Quran. He says, I should recite for you, Ya Rasulullah. But this Quran was revealed to you. He said, no, I like to hear the Quran also be recited and I must hear. So Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu recites Surah Nisa from the 4th para, last quarter, he begins to recite. And as he starts and he's reading the 5th para, he comes across, he's writing the verse, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, hasbuk. Stop, enough. He says, فَلْتَفَتُّ, I turn around. He says, I saw عَيْنَاهُ تَذْرِفَان, I saw the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shedding tears. Now what is the meaning of this verse on the day of Qiyamah? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call all the ummats, and Allah will say, did Nabi come to you? For example, the home of Nuh alayhi salatu salam. They will say, Ya Allah, Nuh alayhi salam did not come as a Nabi to us. Nobody preached your message to us. Allah will call the ummat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this ummat will stand up. And this ummat will bear witness on behalf of Nuh alayhi salatu salam that, oh Allah, yes, he came as a Nabi to his people. But this ummat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will also bear witness upon his ummat. That he gave the message to his ummat. But there were many from his ummat who did not accept his message. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had that pain in his heart. He could not endure the plight of his ummat on that day when he will have to bear witness against some people of his ummah. He loved his ummah so dearly. So shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadira, give of glad tidings. He told us about Jannat, about meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the bounties of Jannah. Nadiran, he warned us of Jahannam, he warned us of azab of qabr. Wada'iyan ila Allah, he was an inviter, a caller towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bi'idnihi, with the command of Allah. Sirajan munira, he was a lantern. A bright lantern that illuminated the entire world. You will never get any person's life like that of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So beautiful, so pure, so clean, as our Hazrat Rahmatullahi alayhi was saying in those 3 beautiful words, Akmal, Ajmal, Ashal. So perfect, so beautiful. Every sunnat of his, every sunnat, the manner in which he partook of his meals, the manner in which he held a morsel of food in his hand, the manner in which he would walk, subhanallah, the manner in which he would deal with people, the manner in which he would talk to people, his business transactions, the tolerance, how he dealt with his wives, with the children. Imagine he is in sajda or in ruku, and the young ones from his home, Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma, his grandchildren, or Umama radiallahu ta'ala anha, or Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, youngsters, they would climb onto his back. You know, once he is in ruku, and Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala has mounted the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So somebody commented, Ni'mal Markub, what a beautiful conveyance. Rasulullah then after finishing he said, no, Ni'mal Rakib, what a beautiful rider, my grandson. Imagine after coming back he would meet the youngsters, coming back after a battle. As he's entering Medina, he would give the little children a ride on his camel. The love he had for his family. Brothers, we can go on. We have heard many talks. But let us now be serious. There is no other way out for us. We can claim we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course we should praise Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should sing those Naat Sharif in his praise. But beyond that, let us contemplate and see, where are we heading towards? What are we doing? What is our maqsad? What is our objective? Are we filling in our hearts the real love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his beautiful way of life? Are we bringing the sunnah into his life? Let us go back home tonight and count the number of sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we can see in our lives. And if we don't have the sunnahs, then there are many books available today. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The manner in which he slept. How he woke up in the morning. What surahs he would recite in different salat. The sunnah of Fajr. What surahs he would read. When he woke up in the morning, what duas he would read when he goes to sleep. When he goes to sleep at night, what duas he would read. When he would partake of meals. What duas he would read before and after and during the course of the meal. When he would enter the home, when he would leave the home. The manner in which he conducted himself. There's only beauty, there's only kamal. Muhammadun basharun laysa kal bashari. Muhammadun yaqutatun wan nasu kal hajari. The poet says so beautifully, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a human being, yes. Laysa kal bashari. He was not like a normal human being. He was a human being. He was bashar. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ But he was not like a normal human being. If you look at his life, you would say, this man is an angel of Allah. His kindness, his softness, even his physical beauty, subhanallah. The sahabi says, كَأَنَّ الشَّمْسِ تَجْرِي فِي وَجْهِهِ As though the sun was gliding in his face. When he would speak, إِذَا تَكَلَّمَ When he would speak, wallahi, it is mentioned in hadith, light would be seen coming out from between his teeth. Noor. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha has borrowed a needle from one of her friends and it is dark. There are no lights like how we have. And she lost the needle and she's busy searching for the needle. And at that very moment, Rasulullah SAW enters the home. The noor from his face, like a torch, like a lantern, just shines and she finds her needle. I was reading about the itar, the fragrance of Rasulullah subhanallah. Umm Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of Anas radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was the mahram of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lying down and she goes and she begins to collect the perspiration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a little container. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wakes up. He says, what are you doing? She says, Ya Rasulullah, in one riwayat, I'm going to add this perspiration of yours, which is so fragrant, with the other ikhtar we have, the other perfumes we have. She says, this is atyabutib, the most fragrant of all fragrances and perfumes, the perspiration of Rasulullah. In one riwayat, she says, I'm collecting it for our children, and I'm going to apply on our young ones. He says, Asabti, what you have done is correct. I read this morning, one sahabi by the name of Utba bin Marqad, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He had four wives. This is not the point about four wives. The point is still coming. And each wife would obviously decorate herself or beautify herself for her husband. Each one wants to get his full muhabbat and love. So she would apply the best of fragrance and perfumes when her husband, this Utba radiallahu, would come. And he himself, a little bit of oil in his beard, in his hair, that's all, no itar whatsoever. And they used to wonder that the fragrance that coming out of his body, that emits from his body, it outdoes the fragrance that they are putting. And they've got the most expensive of perfumes that they are applying.
And the husband who comes home, a little bit of oil, that's all. And you know the oil is not going to be a fragrance, give off a fragrant smell. And when he used to walk, the people would say, Ma shamimna, we have not smelled any fragrance like what Utbah has applied. Nonetheless, the wives, they go to him. They say, Inna la najtahid. We are exerting ourselves, putting nice, nice fragrance, perfumes every day. Yours is something else. What is it? What's the secret? He says, I had a skin disease. I went and complained to Rasulullah. My body is itching. I've got some skin problem. He says, the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells me to remove my upper garment. So I remove my shirt, the kurta, and then he takes his mubarak saliva and he puts it into his hand and he rubs it on my front and my back. He says, I became cured, and from that day, this is the fragrance that you are smelling. This is just from the saliva of Rasulullah s.a.w. Anas radiallahu anhu says, I have never smelled any fragrance more fragrant than that of Rasulullah's perspiration. More fragrant than that of musk. He says, I have not felt any silk fabric which was more softer than the palms of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jabir radiallahu anhu looks at the 14th full moon. We have mentioned this so many times. I cannot help but mention it again. We love our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We must have true ishq of Rasulullah sir. You see the 14th full moon, and suddenly I look at Rasulullah sir, his beautiful face. I was admiring the 14th full moon, and then looked at the face of Rasulullah sir. Two or three times, I came to the firm conclusion, the brilliance on the face of Rasulullah sir outshined the brilliance of the 14th full moon. And that is why Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, if the friends of Zulaykha, the story of Yusuf alayhi salam and Zulaykha, when they were busy cutting the fruit, and Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, so handsome as he went past, then instead of cutting the fruit, they began slicing the fingers. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would proudly say, if these same friends of Zulaykha, if they had to see my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they would cut their hearts open. Therefore the poet says, بَلَغَ الْعُلَى بِكَمَالِهِ كشف الدجى بجماله حسن الجميع خصاله صلوا عليه وآله بلغ العلا بكماله. Rasulullah has reached the peak of perfection because of his kamal. The kamal of Rasulullah sallam, subhanallah. Again, ahadith upon ahadith upon ahadith, no time. Once he was in his room, just outside his room, Sahaba radiallahu anhu majmainu talking. Rasulullah overhears the discourse, they were talking a bit loud. He comes out, he says, Sami'atu kalamakum mu'ajabakum. I heard your speech. I heard your expression of your astonishment over various anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. Somebody remarked, Ibrahim Khalilullah. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he is the bosom friend of Allah. Somebody said, Musa Najiyullah. Musa alayhi salam, he was saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like that they praise various nabis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Rasulullah s.a.w. tells them, yes, whatever you have said is the truth. But I am Habibullah. But I am Habibullah. The most beloved of Allah. Wala fakhra. Anna sings out of pride and arrogance. Anna Sayyidu Wuldi Adama Yawm Al Qiyamah Wala Fakhra. I will be the leader of mankind on the day of Qiyamah. In one riwayat, وَبِيَدِي لِوَاءُ الْحَمْدِ. And in my hands will be the flag of hamd and praise. وَآدَمُ تَحْتَ لِوَائِي. Adam alayhi salatu salam, who is the father of mankind, he also will be behind me. وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ شَافِعٍ مُشَفَّعٍ. I will be the first person to intercede and the first person whose intercession will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ مَنْ يَقْرَعُ بَابَ الْجَنَّةِ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ مَنْ يُحَرِّكُ حِلَقَ الْجَنَّةِ. I will be the first person who will tap at the door of Jannah, and the doors of Jannah will be open. In one hadith, Rasulullah said, "Ana Muhammadun wa ana Ahmadu." My name is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My name is Ahmad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa ana al-Hashir alladhi yuhsharu an-nasu 'inda qadamayya. My name is also Hashir on the day of Qiyamah. I will be the one riwayat wa ana awwalu man yanshaqu 'anhu al-qabr. The first person to emerge from the qabr, it is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Hashar will take place and everybody will be at my feet. I will be the leader on the day of Qiyamah. وَأَنَا الْعَاقِبُ الَّذِي لَيْسَ بَعْدَهُ نَبِيٌّ. I am that عَاقِب after whom there is no other Nabi to come. Another riwayat, وَأَنَا خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ. I am the seal of prophethood. No Nabi to come after me. No Nabi, no Rasul to come after Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ. وَأَنَا الْمُقَفِّي. Say meaning of عَاقِب. وَأَنَا نَبِيُّ التَّوْبَةِ. وَأَنَا نَبِيُّ الرَّحْمَةِ. I'm the Nabi of Tawbah. Mufassirin, the Muhaddisin, right? كَثِيرُ التَّوْبَةِ. Rasulullah SAW would make Tawbah excessively. One riwayat, 70 times in one gathering. One riwayat, 100 times in one gathering. Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. He was ma'asum, committed no sins. If any little error in judgment, that also was forgiven. لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Ma'asum, sinless. And scholars have even written that through the barakat, the barakati, he is written very clearly, because of the barakat of Rasulullah SAW, Allah would accept the tawbah of many who came and made tawbah. نَبِيُّ التَّوْبَة. نَبِيُّ الرَّحْمَة. The Nabi of mercy. And in one riwayat of Darimi, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, that Rasulullah SAW says, أنا رحمة مهدات. إنما أنا رحمة مهدات. I am a source of mercy. Allah has sent me as رحمة للعالمين. مهدات. I am a gift, a present from Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Allah has given this ummah this gift of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Mullah Ali Qari رحمة الله عليه has explained, and he said, فمن قبل هدية الله عز وجل. Whoever accepts this hadiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, aflaha wa zafira, he'll be kamiyab. He'll be successful. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَقْبَلْ. Whoever does not accept this gift, who abuses this gift, whoever does not respect this gift, خَابَ وَخَسِرَ. He'll be a loser. He'll be a failure. He'll be in misery. Allah save us. The Muhammad Sahaba had for Rasulullah SAW, we had heard so many times, so many times, so many times, that the Sahabi could not sleep. He was restless, bechain, until he comes and knocks on the door of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, sees his Mubarak face, then gets some sabr, then he returns home. That woman who lost her husband, her brother, her son, and another male member of her family, what a musibat came upon her in the battle of Uhud. Musibat upon musibat. Upon musibat. And she's given the news, your husband passed away. Your father passed away. Your brother passed away. Your son passed away. She's not concerned. Inna lillah, inna lillah, inna lillah. Then she's, but what about my Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They assure her, reassure her. He's okay, he's fine, he's okay. She said, no, 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 I want to see him. And after setting her eyes upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then she says, Ya Rasulullah, kullu musibatin ba'daka jalalu. Kullu musibatin ba'daka jalalu. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever musibat came upon me, I lost my father, my husband, my brother, my son. All the pillars of support around me, all gone in this battle of Uhud. But everything has become so light upon me, just upon seeing you alive and you in a sound condition. Zayd bin Dathina radiallahu ta'ala, his place on the ground, enemy are hitting him, he's now going to lose his life, they're going to kill him. And somebody says, oh Zayd, don't you wish that you should be in your family safe and sound and happy and enjoy yourself and Muhammad in your place? He He says, I cannot tolerate a little thorn pricking my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you see, he must be in my place now? Impossible. And then the enemy began to say, they have never seen any group, any nation, who loved the leader as much as Sahaba would love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the ishq and muhabbat that they had, it prompted them that when the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making wudu, then before the water can fall off his hands, they are rushing forward and grabbing the water. But it was not just ishq, lip service ishq they had. They had genuine ishq and muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore, whatever command was given to them, without even any hesitation, without any questions, immediately they carried out the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those of us who have been for Umrah and when we return, I mentioned on Monday, how difficult it is. It's like a nightmare when you're leaving Madinah Sharif. The anguish, the pain you get. You become so attached to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Rauza Mubarak. And you think you're going to come back home. You don't know when you're going to see these beautiful places again and be right in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not easy at all. But imagine Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala. He is commanded by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Mu'adh, you gotta go to Yemen. And he's dispatching him. He's mounted on the animal. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is walking. Mu'adh wants to jump up. He says, no, you sit. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam holds the reins of the camel. And he gives him beautiful advices. And the same Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala was a young sahabi. Not an elderly sahabi, young sahabi. On one occasion, Rasulullah tells him, Ya Mu'az, Wallahi inni la uhibbu. Oh Mu'az, Allah's qasam, I love you dearly. Now Rasulullah tells him, Asa an la talqani ba'da aami hada, wal'allaka an tamura bi masjidi wa qabri. Oh Mu'az, perhaps this is our last meeting. You're going to depart, I'm going back. You're not going to see me again. You'll come after some time, you'll pass my masjid, and you'll see my qabr. فَبَكَى مُعَاذٌ جَشَعًا He began to sob. Who? Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. He could not take it. Began to sob. Rasulullah sees his sahabi crying. It's not easy. So he turns his face away. Turns his face away. And exactly what Rasulullah prophesies, this is what happened. When Mu'adh radiallahu anhu gets the news, so lengthy incident we had mentioned, he sees a dream, and then finally he gets the news, Rasulullah passed away, and he comes to Medina, and Rasulullah has already gone. There are so many things in the ishq of Rasulullah, the maqam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Bedouin. It's a lengthy incident. But the couplets he mentioned, and these couplets are engraved on the pillar right by Rauza Mubarak. Those who know Arabic will see it written there. Ya khayra man dufinat bil qa'i a'zumuhu fataba min tibihinna al qa'u wal akamu نفسي الفداء لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. What is the meaning of this poetry? This Bedouin mentioned this poetry, beautiful couplets. He says, Oh, يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه. The word أعظمه means, in Arabic it means bones. The body of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. The perfumed body of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. The fragrant body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Oh blessed one, the best one, whose body is buried in this land. Ya khayra man dufinat bil qa'. Qa' means land, piece of ground, this soil, this mitti, this sand. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mubarak body which is intact, not decayed, no bones. His Mubarak body is intact. His beautiful jasad e Mubarak. There in this qabr of his, touching the soil. The poet says, فَطَّابَ مِنْ تِيبِهِنَّ أَلْقَاعُ وَالْأَكَمُ Because of this beautiful fragrance and this beautiful Mubarak jasad, body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this perfume that is emanating from his body,
and his Mubarak body that is touching the soil, because of this fragrance, even the other surrounding lands and even the hillocks, that has also become fragrant. فَطَابَ مِنْ تِيبِهِنَّ أَلْقَاعُ وَالْأَكَمُ. Al-Qa refers to the lowlands, and Al-Akamu the hillocks. All that has become fragrant. And therefore ulama have mentioned that this sand, this soil which is touching the Mubarak body of Rasulullah ﷺ, is greater than not only the Kaaba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but even greater than the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, may my soul be sacrificed for you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for this qabr which you are dwelling in. And it is only chastity, purity, there is generosity, there is only nobility. My respected brothers and elders, time has already expired. And many people asked me, how long will the bayan be? So we said, exactly till 8:30, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to follow the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the beautiful couplets of our Arif Billah, our Shaykh. هذا حكيم اختر صاحب دام البركات من عالية نقش قدم نبی کے ہے جنت کے راستے اللہ سے ملاتے ہیں سنت کے راستے. The footsteps of Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نقش قدم نبی کے ہے جنت کے. You want جنت? You want the route to جنت? Then follow the footsteps of Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. And this way of life will link you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will create in yourself love Allah, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah mentions so beautifully, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. If you claim you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Muhammad sallam, tell them, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow me. Follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you all your sins. I will just end with one very beautiful point which Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned. I found it very, very inspiring. He says in the tafsir of Surah Ikhlas, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the oneness of Allah. And Allah commences the surah, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Allah is one. Allah is samad. Allah is self-sufficient. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. Allah did not give birth. Nor was Allah begotten. Allah got no parents. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. There's nobody equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's only tawheed of Allah, the oneness of Allah, the greatness of Allah in the surah. So here Allah instructs Rasulullah sallallahu, O Muhammad, say, قُلْ, tell the people. Allah has got no partners. Allah has got no children. Ulama Imam Razi has mentioned that in this surah, Allah instructs Rasulullah, say, قُلْ. In other words, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although Allah does not need it, but showing us, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, defend me. These enemy, the disbelievers, are attributing a son to me, that I have got a son. For Allah to have a son, it is an aib, it is a flaw, it is a defect. Allah is part of any aib. Allah got no aibs. Allah is pure. These people are saying, I've got a son. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kun dhaban anni, that you must defend me. And O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the enemies are saying that you got no son. And they are taunting you when your son passed away. When your son passed away, they began to laugh at you. And say, oh, in Huwal Abtar, now he is cut off all mercy. He's got no male progeny to continue his mission. So he's not a successful person. He's wretched. He's unlucky. Allah says, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now you don't have to say, قُلْ, I will defend you. Inna أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرْ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرْ. I will defend you. And Allah says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily your enemy is abtar. Your enemy is cut off all hopes. Your enemy has got no, he will not enjoy any mercy of mine. In reality, he's got no offspring. He may have children, but he's got no barakat whatsoever. He's deprived of all blessings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the reality and make us understand the maqam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give us his true ishq and muhabbat. And may Allah help us now to change our condition and follow the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.